let me begin by welcoming everyone who's here this morning. We've got a lot of our own folks away, but we have a number of visitors in the audience, and that's a great thing. So we're glad you're here, and we want to invite you to come back at every opportunity you have. If you haven't filled out a visitor's card, please, you should be able to see one just in front of you, and please do fill that out for us. You can hand it to me as you go out the back door or one of the members here, but we'd love to have a record of you being here. I'll make two quick announcements. I've got several I'm going to reserve to the end of or after the invitation song and so forth, because I'm going to have a prayer involved in that. But a couple of the announcements, as was said earlier, we are going to have a potluck and singing right after services tonight or this afternoon. As has been said, comes at 4 o'clock. But we're going to have a potluck and singing, and that'll be right next door, and we want you to come, so please do come. And then Friday night, for those of you that like to come to the movie night, we're going to watch a movie this coming Friday night, so it'll be an active week. And love to have everybody that wants to be involved in that. If you're coming to the movie night, please see Montel or Juliet, make sure we've got space left available for that. All right, without any further delay, we'll get into the lesson this morning, and I want us to continue to talk about the idea of fulfilling my purpose in my work. Now, in particular, this lesson is going to be geared toward younger people, but there is something in the lesson for everyone here, so, it's not just for the young people today. But I want us to talk about the idea of answering the question, what should I do? That's a very common question for young people, just thinking about, and the older you get as a child. I know when I was a little child, about all I was concerned with was, what was I going to play today? Was I going to play this or play that? But you get a little older and you start asking the question, what are you going to do? What should you do with your life? When you grow up, what do you want to be? Now, I can remember being a very young child and a group of us in the neighborhood kind of gathering together to play. And from time to time, we'd stop and have this discussion. When I grow up, I'm going to be whatever. And I wanted to be a cowboy, but there weren't too many Indians left to fight. So, you have to find something. You have to find something that you're going to do. So when I grow up, I want to be a whatever. And you begin to think about that. You begin to consider all of that. And generally speaking, we kind of find our niche. We discover what we're going to do. And by the time maybe we're reaching, the college age years, we've decided what we want to do and we start pursuing that. But what do I want to be when I grow up? So this year our theme is fulfilling my purpose. And this quarter we're talking about doing that in our work. So that leads us to think as, myself as an individual, the goal, and, last year we talked a lot about setting goals, having goals. The goal for each individual is to find and fulfill his or her place in this life. You have one. And God meant for you to fulfill a place. Now, I believe that. There are a number of passages I won't look at this morning, but I think very definitely show that. That God has equipped you, and I asked a question about that in the bulletin, but God has equipped you to fulfill a particular role. You need to discover what your place is. You need to find your place, and you need to do what you believe God intends for you or intended for you to do. So we start asking questions like this, and let's ask some basic questions. Who am I? And I'm not asking that from the Ross Perot standpoint, but who am I? And I really want to know, I really want to ask questions like, what am I going to do with my life? I don't want to be someone who's just kind of lost out there. And when I was young and I started thinking about this question and I got very serious about it, you begin to ask yourself, who are you really? Who are you supposed to be? What are you? What are you going to do with your life? Because the decisions that you make as a young person are going to affect your life. You realize as you start thinking about that question that it's going to be answered over time. I mean, whether you put a lot of diligence into it, whether you put a lot of hard work into it, planning, etc., etc., that question is going to be answered. Think about the question, who am I? You're going to be somebody. And I'm not just talking about your name and a human being walking around. You know that you are someone. You stand for things. You don't stand for things. You have principles, beliefs, talents, and so forth. You are someone. You are an individual. What are you going to do with your life? That's going to be answered. Now, you can just go through life without a lot of careful planning and diligence, and you'll still find a place in life. You'll still answer that question. So really, what I want to do is find my place. There is a place for me, and I want to find my place. I want to find something that I can love, something I can enjoy, something that I can do. I don't want to be just a lost individual stumbling through life. You may remember I put something like this series of statements up when we were talking at the beginning of the year about finding my place in church. And in Joshua chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, God makes a promise. Now, I'm not going to turn there this morning, but God makes a promise to Joshua. He says to him, you have a place. Moses is dead. And I've got a job for you, Joshua, to do. You've got a place to fill. And don't be afraid and don't be dismayed by life and about the challenges that you've got ahead. I will be with you. I'll never leave you. I won't forsake you. And as long as you remain faithful to me, I'll take care of that. You can do the job I want you to do. And when you get to the end of your life, Joshua, or you, when you get to the end of your life, what's going to be said about you? Will they look at you and say, he served his purpose. He really did what he was supposed to do. He served his purpose. I hope they do when they look at me. When the day of my funeral comes, the day that people are thinking about the life that I lived on earth, I hope that people look at me and the first thing they think about is, he was a preacher. I hope they think about that before a whole lot of other things I've done in my life. But I hope that I've found my place, and when people think of me, good, bad, or in between, they say, he served his purpose. He did what God meant for him to do. When they look at a person, maybe they look at a woman, and they say about her, and I've heard this said about good, godly women. She had a long, useful life. Isn't that the best place for someone to fill? To be useful. To be someone who was helpful, beneficial to other people. To live a long life and to have people. You think of Dorcas in the Bible when you hear a statement like that. And she was so useful and so helpful to other people that when she died, they didn't want her to stay dead. We can't lose her. Don't you want that to be said about you? Don't you want to be so important to other people in whatever you do that people want to hold on to you as long as they can? You think about Paul's statement, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. God had a job for me to do, and I did it. God had a place for me, and I fulfilled it. Now, he took a sort of circuitous route to get there, He didn't just jump right into it. We wish he had. He probably wished he had. But the truth is, he found his place and he finished his course. Don't you want that to be the kind of thing that is said of you rather than to reach the end of your life, to look back on your life? I'm looking back now on almost 40 years of time spent doing what I'm doing. I don't want the end of my life to be characterized by that. I don't want people to say he wasted his life. And I don't want to say about myself, I wasted my life. Life is fleeting. If you're a young person here today, you probably feel like I felt when I was your age. You've got forever. You're going to live forever. And when I looked at life and I thought of life way down the road, I remember when I went to the preaching job I left before I came here. And I was thinking about this the other day. I am at the age of one of the men who became one of my best friends and helped me as much as anybody ever has in my preaching. He was my age. And I thought he was old. I was in my 20s. And I realized how quickly that 30 years has passed. and I'm his age now. I don't want to reach the end of this very quick life and say I've wasted my life. I just don't want that to happen in life. Let's talk about the idea of settling for a second. I will find my place in life. You will find yours. You will be something. You will do something with your life. And you will either pursue it and give the diligence to it to be where you're supposed to be, do what you're supposed to do, or you will be like many people in life and you will settle. And I use the term settle because that's exactly where people are. Many people. I settled for this job. I settled for this marriage. I settled for this church. I settled for this life. And they're miserable. Now, if you're here today and you've settled, chances are great, regardless of the smile you wear, you're miserable. But if you didn't settle, and you're not settling, and if you're young and you're not going to settle, then you're not miserable. Chances are you're excited about your possibilities. You're all fired up about what you're doing with your life or going to do with your life, and that's only going to get better. We don't want to settle. We want to be what God wants us to be. What should I do? I want you to read with me a couple of passages. Go to the book of Proverbs with me. And this may not be a passage that immediately sounds like it's talking about the job you do, but I think it's a generic passage. There's a principle here, several of them in Proverbs 16. Let's read a couple of them. Look at Proverbs 16 and verse 3, in which, think about Joshua again. Joshua, if you're faithful to me, you do the job that I've got for you to do, I'll be with you. Proverbs 16 down in verse 3, commit your works. Some of your translations don't make work plural. It's just commit your work unto the Lord. And your thoughts shall be established. Now notice what he's saying there. How would that apply to the idea of what should I do with my life? Well, I think it applies greatly. Because you have dreams. And you should as young people. Never let anybody steal your dreams. Don't let people take those away. Because your dreams are you searching out what you are supposed to do with your life. Now sometimes they're unrealistic. And you will discover that if they are. You know, if your dream is to go to be the first person on Pluto, that might be unrealistic. But the point is, don't let people steal your dreams. Pursue what you think you are supposed to be. You know, you and God know that more than anybody. Go after it. Commit your way. Commit your work unto the Lord. And always keep God in the equation. Don't be fighting and rebelling against God trying to do something with your life, because if you're doing that, it is going to be a disaster. Commit your work unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Now drop down with me to verses 8 and 9, and notice something that's added in this chapter. Better is a little with righteousness. Now again, we want to do something so we can ably provide for ourselves, for our families, for those in need. I've been stressing that all through this quarter. But my ultimate purpose, no, let me say it like this. My ultimate reason for taking a job, for doing a particular work, for doing something with my life, ought not to be the amount of money I'm going to get. That shouldn't be the top of the list. It has to be a consideration. You have to be able to provide, is the point. So, you know, I can't just unrealistically pursue something. Let me take about a half minute here and mention, there's an old sitcom, Andy Griffith, and a lot of people like that, especially back home where I come from. And there was an episode early on in that show of a guy who made parts for women's hats. He made little arrangements that went on women's hats. The trouble with it was, the things he was making went out of style 20 years before. And he was still making them. And so, naturally, he couldn't pay his mortgage, he couldn't pay his bills, he couldn't provide for himself. And it was a comical show, but it portrays a reality. You've got to be able to provide for yourself. But that doesn't have to be your number one pursuit, because, as God says, better is a little with righteousness. Do what's right first. And then let God prosper you. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without it, without right. Notice verse 9. A man's heart devises his way. What does that mean? It means I dream. It means I plan. It means God has given me the ability to ferret out within myself what I'm supposed to do. And you have that ability. If you're a young person and you're beginning to contemplate all of that, or you will within a couple of years, God has given you the ability to discover what you're supposed to do. Think. Think about it. Spend that time. Daydreaming, if you want to call it that. I'd rather call it meditating. And ask that hard question, what should I do with my life? A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I believe that a prayer in every person, not just young people, but especially young people, a prayer ought to be, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Show me what you want me to do. Direct me in the way you want me to go. Lead me to the job you want me to have. Help me to choose the career you expect me to be in. I don't believe it's wrong to pray that. I think God is teaching us to do that. You do everything you can do to pursue what it is you think you should be, and then you give it to the Lord to direct your life. And that's exactly what I believe He's saying in this passage, and others. It's like 1 Thessalonians 4, and I've already looked at that verse in the last couple of weeks, so I won't turn there. But it's the idea of me doing my own work. There is a work for me to do, and the Bible talks about that. Or when Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, which of us would plan to build a tower? Maybe we think in terms of a new home today or something like that. But which of us would plan to build something without first sitting down and counting the cost? And that's what you should do. Wes made some excellent points, and I'm going to make mention of those here in just a moment. But one of the things Wes said in the last couple of lessons, in which he referenced the idea of work and all of that kind of thing, was what kind of cost is there going to be involved? If I choose this career, I choose this job, you know, it may mean this and it may give me that, but at what cost? You know, if a person came along and offered me a job right now and said, we'll pay you $5 million a year if you will go halfway around the world, but only you can come and your wife and daughter stay here. Now, $5 million would be a life change to me and my family, but at what cost? If that means I've got to leave my wife and leave my daughter and leave everything that I really care about, what is $5 million? At what cost? Jesus said, you don't. No, what you think about when you're asking the question, what should I do with my life? You think about the need there is. You know, if your greatest goal in life is to make arrangements for hats that went out of style 20 years ago, there's probably not a great need for that. You ask yourself, what is the need for what it is that I think I should do and what I want to do? What kind of need is it? What about my ability to fill the need? You know, I might want to do a job, but I might not have the ability to do it. I would love to be a professional baseball player. Now, you may not know that. Some of you do. But I would love to. I still watch baseball thinking about me standing with a bat at 16 years old and dreaming. But I don't have the ability to do that. And I never had the ability to do that. Those guys are good. I mean, we went to watch a minor league game last night, and I'm watching those guys standing up there hitting, and I'm looking at those pitchers, and I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, so much better than even high school baseball. I mean, it's just, I don't have that ability. So what kind of ability do you have to fill the need? Be realistic. The older you get, you have to be realistic. And then the desire. You know, if there's a job out there with a need and you have the ability to do it, but you just hate it, that's not the place for you. Now, sometimes it is. I mean, to support my family, I would do whatever. I would do some of the things that I've done in the past, and they were dirty jobs, and I won't even go there. I would do those things. But with my life, what should I be doing? What do I need to be doing with my life? I have no desire to do those things. And if you don't have desire to do it, then you're going to hate it and it's going to be miserable. It will be a disaster. And so God teaches us to ask this question and pursue the answer. Now, it's like Steve Jobs said. You saw this quote at the beginning of the quarter. Let's read it one more time. Your work is going to fill a large part of your life. And the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. What you believe is great work. If you think the work is not great, you are not going to be happy doing it. He went on to say, love what you do. And he said, if you haven't found it yet, keep looking. And don't settle. I agree with that. Doesn't matter if you're working a job now and you feel like you've settled for the job and it's not what you should be doing and need to be doing or can be doing with your life. If you're not dead, it's not time to settle. Keep looking. Keep pursuing. Keep chasing. Keep reaching. Keep doing everything you can do to be what God meant you to be. And as with all matters of the heart, you'll know it when you find it. It's incredible. When I was in high school and I was thinking about all of this kind of thing, I never, ever, remotely, not once, saw myself in a pulpit. Now that's the truth. Everything about preaching would have been repulsive to me. And I mean that. But then I became a Christian. And then my love for God and my love for His Word consumed my life. And God showed me that all of those things that you thought you would be, all of those things that you even dreamed of being, baseball player or whatever, that is not what I have planned for you. And you know what? I didn't settle. And I love what I do. Wes and I talk about this sometimes. You know, it's really the truth. There can be problems, there can be hard times, etc., etc., but we do what we do because we love it. And that's a blessing in and of itself. Just to be able to say, and I do sometimes, I sit and I say to myself, you know, what would you rather be doing? Would you ever stop preaching? If Uncle Bill out there somewhere, you know, or Uncle whoever, drops millions of dollars in your lap, would you still preach? And the answer is yes. I can't stand not preaching. It's just what I'm supposed to be doing. So I might not do it for money and all of that, but I would still get in the pulpit and preach. Because it's what God wanted me to do. Don't settle. You'll know what you're supposed to do when you find it. And your work will be your passion. Let's make one final point. As I said, I wanted to mention a couple of things Wes said. So Wes, I'm going to go back and give my version of what you said in a couple of sermons. Without purpose, let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes and turn to chapter 11. Now, in the lesson before last, Wes talked about this passage. Without purpose, work is futile. It doesn't mean much. And some, you know, the Solomon would say it's just vanity, it's futility. The time of your productivity is fleeting. Generally about 40 years, you're going to be very productive. And if you're a strong person and all of that, maybe a little past that, but it's not a long time. You're going to have a certain amount of life that you're really productive. But without purpose, your work is futile. And that time is fleeting and it's over and you may feel like I've wasted my life. But with purpose, our work is useful and rewarding. Look with me at Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and go down to verse 9 when he says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of your heart. Now remember, Wes talked about this. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And so as Wes talked about in that lesson, it was follow your heart. And I believe in that. I believe you need to follow your heart. You need to follow what you believe that you are supposed to be. You need to pursue that. And do the work God wanted you to do. But know that when you follow your heart, when you do whatever it is you do, God is going to bring you into judgment for that. So always consider not just what do I want to do, but what should I do with my life? What does God want me to do? Now, there are a number of other passages. Go with me to chapter 2, and I'll just mention this briefly. Wes was looking at chapter 2 just last week. But when you look at chapter 2, and let me select just a couple of verses down in verse 22. For what has man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he has labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. His heart takes not rest in the night. This also is vanity or futility. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy.